You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast. Welcome one and all to the last and final El Arpa Podcast before a summer break / hiatus. Maria, how are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Forward slash.
Forward slash. Where are you off to? You're off to the beach. Alicante.
I am, yeah.
You think the French footballer N'Golo Kanté is from Alicante?
No.
that's another one. Okay, so how long, when are you back?
Back on the 17th of August.
Or 17th of August.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Any other trips planned for the summer? What's left of it?
What's left of it? Just doing a brief visit to England.
Okay, very good.
What about you?
Not going to England, you know. Yeah, what my feeling is on that. Sure. So I'm going to New Zealand for... What? I am.
No, you're not.
I'm going on a trek to find myself.
What? New Zealand's in Ireland?
No, New Zealand. And then I'm going to the Bor Bor Mountains and then possibly to Crete to go to Techno Fest.
County Bora Bora.
Yeah, County Bora Bora. No, I'm going to Ireland for several days.
Of course you are.
Going to Dublin for lots of days.
Yeah.
Go to Cork for some other days. And Limerick for some other days until my holidays complete. And I'm back on the 15th, which means on the 18th, we can do a podcast again, can't we?
We can.
And today, hopefully yes. So we filmed some of our Frizzlebur videos with some success. We'll continue doing those after the summer break and coming towards September.
We have it in article version.
We had an article version, exactly, which will go straight onto our website as well. So do check that out so you can see more about that. But we haven't really been, well, we've been winding down a little bit for summer.
Mm-hmm. Well, as much as the students have let us.
Exactly. But to be fair, they've been pretty lazy, so they've been giving us quite a lot of room to maneuver on that score. Okay, and I'm sure your listener are aching to leave the house and go on your holidays, wherever you're going to. So we're going to cut this introduction short and see you in just a moment. Here we are again, the main part of the show. This is where the pressure is on. Introduction, conclusion takes care of itself, but this is the part where we gotta talk some stuff. No,
yeah.
Stretch it out and be intellectual and discuss matters inside and out. So today we're going to talk about, as I mentioned, did I mention the introduction? No, I didn't mention this in the introduction.
I don't know, because we talked about the beach, but I'm not sure we talked about these beaches.
We didn't actually mention the beach in this, in the version of the introduction that we're putting into the show. That was in the first version that we cut. So, well, you've given it away anyway.
Okay, this the beach.
The beach, the novel by Alex Garland, which is 20 years old this year, I think.
Oh.
And he was 26 when he wrote it. So, have you read this book?
I haven't read the book, I have to say.
Well, you're missing out. It was a cult sensation at the time. People read it. You've seen the movie, hated it.
I actually started watching the movie, and it's one of the few movies that I stopped watching because I was so bored.
Really? Why?
Yes.
Why didn't it capture you?
I don't know. It was just like, I found it like a bit too wacky at the time. You know, like a bit too sort of like you had to be high or something to enjoy it.
Well, it is about drugs,
yeah,
to some
exactly,
extent.
Yeah.
Well, no, Danny Boyle, who was very much the IT director of the time, coming off the back of Shallow Grave and Trainspotting, and famously fell out with Ewan McGregor because he was his actor for those two movies and had promised him a role in this third movie, The Beach, but it eventually went to Hollywood, heartthrob and A-lister Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes.
So, but he did a good job, at least for me. But I had a strong cast. The French guy, Guillaume Canet, is a French director now as well, and he's made some good movies. Obviously, the guy who played Daffy, a Scottish actor, Robert Carlyle, who's also in Trainspotting. Okay. He's a great actor as well.
Yeah,
so
he
has a strong cast and a strong director. I think what you mentioned about it being wacky is very much Danny Boyle's style, and it's worked to great effect in lots of movies. Trainspotting is a visual trip. It's a trip for more than one sense of the word. And also as well, his other movies like 127 Hours, Shadow Grave as well, they're all known for a visual flair. So maybe if they can come off for you, at least you can say he's been consistent in how he tries to film his movies. But I think, you know, a lot of people say it's different from the book, and it is different from the book. It's difficult to adapt that book, I think, and it's difficult to adapt any
book.
Does
it follow the usual thing that the book is normally better than the movie?
Yeah, the book is a lot better. The book is fantastic. I like the movie, so I think the movie's good, but it's different from the book. I saw the movie before I read the book, so maybe it was different. And the soundtrack is pretty good as well, as is also typical for Danny Boyle. He has a good musical ear for his movies. But no, I think it's fantastic. I think it's a really good book. I think it's a good movie. Better book than movie. But yeah, well, I think the book and movie complement each other, because in the book, Richard, the protagonist, has you know, he lives vicariously through the movies and pop culture that he's consumed, and it's difficult to represent that, but he represents it in such a way that it's like it's a cartoon, or like it's like a video game. There's a scene in the movie where he's running through the forest like he's a video game character, for example, and it kind of speaks to what the writer is trying to convey in his book, but also as well how bored and kind of desensitized and kind of out of this real world that Richard is. You know, most of his experiences are derived secondhand from pop culture. So I think, in that sense, even though visually it can turn a lot of people off, I think it does actually stay true to the book.
Okay.
In that sense. But I was reading a couple of articles about it, and one of the best articles spoke about how this book would be received today, because at the time it was a bestseller. I remember when I got the book, you know, long after it was published, because you know, it was a bit before my time, but it flew off the shelves. But I read it in 2 days.
You're not that young.
I am young. I'm a yogurine, really. But the book is it was a bestseller, and I read it in 2 days when I read it. So basically, yeah. So like, I don't know. I mean, so do you think? I know you haven't read the book, but you're familiar with the themes of the movie, which are quite similar to the book, even though it doesn't follow the story. From an outsider's perspective, do you think it could still speak to the youth of today, for example?
Well, I think it probably reflects a certain sort of like 90s era, doesn't it? I don't know. It's got many 90s things.
It's got a lot of 90s references, and a lot of references to video games like Donkey Kong and Mario Bros. Or whatever that kids today.
Well, but all that is coming back to, yeah, in fashion. So.
Well, certain things never die out, but the references today for kids would be more Gears of War or Halo or Pokemon.
It's not
obviously
really a movie for kids anyway, is it?
Not a movie for kids, but even for kids who are not kids anymore, who just come out of that, you know, I mean, Pokemon would be more an immediate reference for them. I mean, even Donkey Kong isn't much of a reference for me, because other video games have been more a reference for people of our generation, for example.
Of our generation.
But, you know, do you think, for example, maybe the emotions would stay the same? So even though the video games are different, or the technology is different, that the emotions or the cultural frenzy around something would be the same. So in the 90s it could have been whatever. For example, music was rave culture, but now it's people are blown away by other types of music or different types of video games, but it's still the same basic dynamic at play. So people now, kids now and teenagers now, would recognize those dynamics even though they're different references.
I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what the main theme is. What the main theme is, like, being sort of like completely
lost.
In kind of like a bit sort of like disillusioned, maybe, or
well, yeah,
wanting to disconnect from the world.
Well, it's about paradise and so I'm
evasion, basically.
Well, exactly, yeah, and yeah. All the worst things about the islands have been brought by the people who are at the island, and
yeah,
and they're torn apart by their jealousies and their pettiness and everything.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, another thing that the article said was that, for example, that because of Google Maps and Twitter,
yeah,
if there was a lost map to an island, it would be shared and retweeted and everything.
Well, I think as well, probably now it's just been dealt with a lot more, but probably that concept was like quite a pioneering thing at the time of, like, you know, having people together in an island and the social experiment and all this. Well, later on that's been capitalized on, so it's not so new anymore.
Well, I think, you know, traveling is obviously was a lot different back then, even 20 years ago, because you're very much on your own, and phoning home wasn't as much of an option as it is
that's
now.
True.
It's a lot easier. So I think you probably, in some respects, was more of an experience, but still, if you do go traveling now, it's still a big experience. And so again, that's why the dynamics are probably similar. And you probably, I mean, you definitely still have people who are looking for the real place and off the beaten track, you know, yeah, they want to go where you know, the tourists don't know about, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book, they're basically idiots and pretentious and
yeah,
not good people. And that's what the people are like in real life as well. Even today.
That's probably why they like it.
Exactly, yeah. So, and plus as well, it has a very simple plot. Not simple in a bad way. It sounds like, you know, but it's just, it's told in a very honest and very clear way, like the characters speaking very directly to you, and it's a very good pacey style. But also, like, he meets somebody, gives him a lost map, he travels to the island, it all falls to pieces, and he kind of survives it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's kind of like a basic elemental thing as well, as a very kind of basic plot structure. But again, I think that because that's a plot structure that people can identify as well, probably will hook readers in. Good literature always is good literature, probably, though obviously things date. One of the other things the article was mentioning was that you know, he's like coming from a generation where he's traveling and he doesn't want to die in a place, and he's kind of killing boredom and killing time rather than killing enemies or being involved in a war. And the comparison was being made between him and other writers and how their writing can be more relevant even for other generations, because it's kind of a more, it's a grander story, and they have more to say by virtue of having survived a war, for example. So his you know, he was like the Generation X prototype, you know. He was the guy who was like for the generation that just didn't believe in anything and just was just you know, wasn't, there's no idealism, there was nothing moral to mark it out. It was just like the consumption generation, for example. So in one sense he's a spokesperson for that, and you could argue that we still have that type of generation or still have facets of that. So again, maybe it could be more relevant, but I don't know, I think it's a good book, and I think people would still like it. I don't know, you're probably not going to read it anyway, are you?
Well, no, now I feel like I really have to read it, you know, because
yeah,
just so I can contribute to it. No, but then again, I mean, it was a long time ago that I attempted to watch the movie, and I got bored because I found that there was not much going on, and I didn't know what the point was, you know. But maybe if I had some background,
well, the whole
to do with the story.
The whole point is like that nothing happens, and they're so bored, and
yeah,
you have the character on the island hoping for something to happen, actively hoping that he gets caught by the marijuana guards who are on the plantation on the other side of the jungle or the island. He's hoping for the shit to hit the fan, basically, because he wants something to happen. So it's kind of perverse that the reader is kind of, well, he's articulating what the reader's thinking, that hopefully something will happen, because he's just so bored. He's just so, he's like, it comes from a generation that just like needs stimulation and distraction, and there's never enough of it, for example.
Well, that would be a lot worse now, even, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, possibly. But even the movie, you know, the director has disowned it, and most of the cast have disowned it, so you know. But I think it's there are people out there that still like it. I mean, well, I liked it because it spoke to the wanderlust in me when I was at that age, impressionable and wanting to get out and explore the world, stuck in a tiny Irish town of no descriptive features or no key features. So I think, look, it's subjective, either you do like it or you don't, but for me at least anyway, I think 20 years on, still a damn fine piece of literature.
Well,
got good themes and a good character, and I think it's something that is accessible for people today as well.
Well, so you've made it quite appealing, so we might give it a go.
We might give it a go. Well, a bit of beach reading for you while you're on the beach as well. So
yes, indeed.
Yeah, exactly. You should always read a book called The Beach when you're on the beach.
Okay, so you have to read Ireland.
Well, I'm in Ireland.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I'll watch Lord of the Rings when I'm in New Zealand. So, okay, well, musical interlude time. We'll be back momentarily. Stay tuned. I can't believe you said that to me. Oh, wow. You're a card. Sorry. We're back on air. So I hope you enjoyed our chat about The Beach, that fantastic novel, debut novel, we should say, by Alex Garland as well. So that's pretty much it. Thank you for being with us for the last few months. We've put together, I don't know, 30-odd podcasts now. I've lost count, but we've done quite a lot, it has to be said. You can find us on Smab Audio. You can find us on other podcast hosting websites as well. And you can find us direct through our website as well, or our Twitter handle, @opera1, where we publicize all of our podcasts. So there's no excuse not to listen to us. But, you know, you've earned your rest. You've been working hard. We've been working hard as well, haven't we?
We have.
We'll stay in some semi-regular touch contact during the summer,
yeah,
bouncing ideas off each other for the upcoming course, and we will be back refreshed, recharged and happy for what people have to throw for us. I guess this is Enna from the Elabra podcast saying saying bye bye, no,
we're so eager to all holidays
and bon voyage and happy trips and all that kind of stuff. Okay, Sean Avalia, bye bye
bye.
You're listening to Subsound Radio. We bring you streaming and live broadcasting from the capital. This is the El Arpa Podcast.